RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and focus, news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline, read by Nisma. Indonesian Vice President says the nomination of Indonesia as the UN Security Council is a constitutional task. Indonesia to organize upcoming Europalia Cultural Festival. And now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President M. Yusuf Kalla said at the UN headquarters in New York on Monday, 18 of September, that the wish of Indonesia to be non-permanent member of the UN Security Council is a constitutional duty in participating to create the world peace. Indonesia has campaigned to be the UN Security Council non-permanent member since last year. Until nowadays, Indonesia has 3 times to be non-permanent member of the UN Security Council. Vice President further mentioned the strategic position of Indonesia as the non-permanent member of the UN Security Council. Vice President Yusuf Kalla also said that the UN Security Council becomes determinant in making the world policy. According to the Vice President, the UN Security Council has very important role for the emergence of the resolution and other policies at the United Nations. The Vice President further said that Indonesia will compete with Maldives as member of the non-permanent of the UN Security, which will be decided on the UN Summit next year. Previously, Vice President Yusuf Kalla has also discussed with President of Kazakhstan to support the nomination of Indonesia as a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council. A total of 40 warships from 35 countries is set to arrive at Lombok Strait around Lembar Port to attend the third multilateral naval exercise Komodo MNEK 2018 that will be held on May 4-8, 2018. The first MNEK event was held in Batam in 2014 and the second one was held in Padang in 2016. The timing coincides with the 52nd anniversary of West Nusa Tenggara Barat or NTB province. It is estimated that the event will welcome around 4,000 guests. Prior to the D-Day, an initial planning conference was firstly held in Surabaya from July 18 to 21 this year and attended by 42 countries. Another meeting is set to be held from November 5 to 7 in Denpasar, Bali. The final planning will take place in Mataram, Lombok, while the event's launch will be conducted in Bali on December 17. Activities at MNEK 2018 mostly consists of pieces of training on disaster handling to combating pirates. The event will also feature other fun activities such as a cultural parade for 2 kilometers around the city of Mataram, Karya Bakti City Tour, medical civil action, boat and war equipment exhibition, fun run and fun bike. Indonesian Minister of Manpower, M. Hanif Dakhiri, reminded that the employment attaché, which is the Indonesian diplomatic representative overseas, does not only take care of the Indonesian workers' TKI issue, but also to seek job market opportunities and vocational training. It was stated by the minister when giving a briefing to 11 labor attaches at the office of the Ministry of Manpower in Jakarta on Monday. Minister Hanif Dakhiri asked the manpower attaché to optimize their duties to open employment opportunities and mapping the needs of job market abroad. Previously, Minister of Manpower installed 9 manpower attaches and 2 technical employment staff to be placed in 10 Indonesia's work placement. The attaches are assigned in South Korea, Brunei Darussalam, Qatar, Singapore, and Jordan, Kuwait, Malaysia, and also the United Arab Emirates, while the 2 technical employment staff are assigned in Hong Kong and Jeddah. Indonesia is proud to be organized the upcoming Europalia Arts and Cultural Festival, which will be kick-started on October 10 in Brussels, Belgium. Coordinating Human Development and Cultural Minister Puan Maharani announced recently. The minister said the festival would feature the country's 316 artists who will light up 40 cities across Belgium with their performances. Minister Puan added that high officials from both countries, comprising Vice President Yusuf Kala and Belgium King Philip, would also attend the festival opening ceremony. According to Minister Puan, Indonesia is eager to organize the international festival due to its prestige. Indonesian Arts and Cultural Delegate will organize 360 events during the festival. We'll also visit France, Germany, the Netherlands, Austria, the United Kingdom, UK, and Poland to perform in these countries. The events will also be complemented by public relations campaigns in various media outlets, as well as display advertisement on wonderful Indonesia tourism promotion feature on 150 taxis across London. The festival will also present a business talk hosted by Yusuf Kala and will be attended by not only Belgian business people but also those from the Netherlands and Luxembourg. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The National Development Planning Agency, BAPENAS, has cooperated with Chinese construction company Huangqing Housing Holding Co. Ltd. to finance and build infrastructure project in Indonesia. The Deputy for Facilities and Infrastructure of BAPENAS, Wismana Adi Surya Brata, stated that the cooperation, as stipulated in the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding, is a follow-up of various high-level meetings conducted by the Indonesian government and Chinese government, as well as efforts to increase the realization of the non-state budget infrastructure funding, or PINA, in infrastructure project. The Memorandum of Understanding is expected to improve networking and cooperation between the Indonesian government and Chinese government, as well as business people from both countries, especially in housing infrastructure and strategic industries. Indonesian Embassy in Lisbon participated in the Festival of Destembero 2017, which was held by Camara Municipal de Curem at Villa Medieval de Curem, a historical castle building complex in Curem town last weekend. Indonesia was invited as the guest in a multicultural event which was also attended by Malaysia, East Timor, and India. An officer of Indonesian Embassy Lisbon, Andre Nurvili, told Antara London on Tuesday. The participation of the Indonesian Embassy is part of cooperative relationship which is established with the local government of Larantuka, East Flores, the region Joseph Lagadoni, Herin, and Mayor of Curem, Portugal, Paulo Fonseca, agreed to sign the Memorandum of Understanding of the sister city between Larantuka and Fatima. The Indonesian embassy gets a location in the area of Curem Castle in Praga Dragao, which is organized as the center of the promotion, of Indonesian culture and tourism. The three-day event was enlivened by dances, which was attended by around 1,000 visitors. Indonesian Ambassador to Lisbon Mulya Wirana delivered a speech about the social-cultural relation between Indonesia and Portugal, as well as some influences of Portuguese culture that developed in Indonesia. And the last item, resident of Bone Bolango district in North Sulawesi is hopeful that Olele Marine Park can become a world-class destination. Olele Marine Park offers the beauty of biodiversity. The area has also become a diving and snorkeling spot. Residents expect the government to build supporting facilities such as roads, hotels, and culinary spot. A French tourist, Alain Guillard, expresses his admiration of Olele underwater beauty. He says that the area has a great potential. Guillard, who claims to have dived 100 times, says that Gorontalo is the best diving spot in Sulawesi Island, particularly Olele Marine Park. Bone Bolango district head says that the government has been promoting the destination both at national and international stages. It has also made some breakthrough to improve the infrastructure of the tourist attraction, including engaging with investors to develop marine and nature tourism. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesian Vice President says the nomination of Indonesia as the UN Security Council is a constitutional task. Indonesia to organize upcoming Europalia Cultural Festival. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello listeners, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Controversy of Film and History. In every September, a lot of Indonesian people discuss a film in the 80s era about the Indonesian Communist Party, known as the September 30th Movement or G30S PKI. Some parties feud that the film is considered to have historical value of a nation's journey, but many also judge the film as result of not regardless of the content and message of the film itself. Related to the film and the request of the Chief of Indonesian Armed Forces, TNI General Gatot Nurmantio, to watch together the film of the G30S PKI, President Joko Widodo views that watching the film as an historic document is important. The President recommends that the film should be adjusted for the millionaire children according to their current style, thus the younger generation will easily understand the dangers of communism. Meanwhile, General Gatot Nurmantio admitted that he does not care about the climate in regard to the screening of the history of the rebellion of G30S PKI. He said that what he ordered as a TNI chief is to carry out and disseminate the facts of historical value to the younger generation. He also remarked that the instruction to watch together G30S PKI film is the TNI effort in strengthening history. Responding to the plan to watch the movie G30S PKI, human rights activist pro contrast Yati Andriani assessed that the playback of the film G30S PKI by TNI is a setback and a form of pressure in the closure of the case. She also asked President Joko Widodo to be firm in the disclosure of the 1965 incident. She was concerned about the limited screening of the September 30 movement by TNI will worsen discrimination of the victims of the 1955 tragedy. The film is a work of art from an artist, especially the director. The director's skill is demanded to get quality film. The film G30S PKI is a work of art by many art observers and filmmakers who recognize high values. Pledged since 1984, the film reached box office a year later. Since then, the film, produced by Nugroho Noto Susanto, the Minister of Education during President Suharto's era, became a compulsory movie to watch every September 30th and rebroadcast by TVRI every year until 1998. As of September 24, 1998, the film was declared unplayable for a number of reasons. The then Information Minister, Yunus Yospia, said that the screening of the nuanced villains of characters such as the villain of Betrayal, G30S PKI, Janur Kuning and Serangan Pajar were no longer in line with the dynamics of the Reformation. Listener, that was commentary today. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start from September 19, 1945, the historic Ikada Rally in Jakarta. On September 19, 1945, an important event occurred in Ikada, or Jakarta Athletic Association Field, now Monas Square in Jakarta. At that time, the new government of the Republic of Indonesia wanted to convey to the public and the outside world that the proclamation of Indonesian independence by Soekarno-Hatta on August 17, 1945 is the will of the entire nation of Indonesia. So, a great rally or gathering was held, followed by tens of thousands of masses from Jakarta and surrounding areas. The rally carried out on September 19, 1945 was heard by then the Japanese occupational government, so that on the night of September 19, Japanese cars, tanks, armored vehicles patrolled the streets throughout the city. Although blocked by the Japanese troops who were asked by the Allies to maintain the status quo, the rally was still held despite all the consequences. The gathering at Ikada Square for Indonesian people has important meanings. People support the newly formed government, realize the authority of the government of the Republic of Indonesia against the Japanese occupation, and instill confidence that the people of Indonesia are able to change their fate with their own strength. Turning to September 19, 1955, Juan Perón was ousted in Argentina. Juan Perón is a controversial figure in Argentina as well as a famous figure of the 20th century. In 1943, Perón was a soldier who joined a coup overthrowing the Argentine government at that time. After that, he took over the Labor Ministry and ratified the new Labor Act and launched a new Union of Workers. In 1944, Juan Perón was appointed vice president as well as minister of war. 1 year later, he was deposed from office and imprisoned. However, at the urging of the workers who supported him, Perón was freed again. In 1945, a political movement called Peronistas ruled in Argentina with the support of agricultural and industrial workers. The movement supported Perón to become president. In the early days of his presidency, Perón gained enormous support. However, over time, he transformed into a dictator and ran an authoritarian government. On September the 19th, 1955, Perón was ousted through Argentina's military coup and exile. The exile for 18 years did not fit his influence on the people. In 1973, Perón was re-elected as President Argentina for the third time. Let's end with September the 19th, 1983. Saint Kitts and Nevis gained independence from Great Britain. The Federation of Saint Kitts and Nevis is a two-island federation country located in the Leeward Islands, the Caribbean. The island of Saint Kitts became a colony of Great Britain since 1624 and Nevis Island since 1628. On September 19, 1983, Saint Kitts and Nevis became an independent state. This country is the smallest country in the Americas, both in terms of area and population. The capital and federal government seat is located on St. Kitts Island. The smaller island of Nevis is about 3 kilometers southeast of St. Kitts. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome back with me, Mana Rahmana, in our daily program, Focus. The title of today's Focus is Indonesia and Norway led the South-South and Triangle Cooperation Meeting. Indonesia and Norway led South-South and Triangle Cooperation Meeting on Peace in New York, United States on Monday. The meeting was chaired by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, who was the initiator of Indonesia and Norway in representing the series of activities of Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs in the 72nd General Assembly of United Nations. Indonesia and Norway are the focal points for funding issues under UN Peacebuilding Commission. Both countries had been very active in supporting development in post-conflict developing countries. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Retno Marsudi in her opening remarks said that maintaining peace is far more difficult than achieving peace. She also emphasized that the biggest challenge now in supporting development in post-conflict countries is ensuring quick and adequate funding. Minister Retno also remarked that creative and innovative global cooperation is needed to increase funding in a bid to support the development of post-conflict countries. She also explained that to ensure adequate funding, countries should contribute. Developed countries must fulfill their commitments and should also be able to attract the private sector to assist funding and development in post-conflict countries. By highlighting the theme, the role of South-South and Triangle Cooperation to increase capacity in supporting post-peace building, Indonesia set an example of an innovative funding source in a to post-conflict countries. Minister Retno feels that Indonesia is always ready to provide assistance through South-South and Triangle Cooperation, especially for superior programs that had been successful in supporting development in post-conflict countries. During 2016, Indonesia has provided capacity-building assistance for more than 40 people from a number of countries. Meanwhile, within the Triangle Framework, Indonesia has implemented capacity-building programs for more than 30 countries since 2011. Furthermore, in 2018, the government of Indonesia will have a number of assistance programs for more than 20 countries and strengthen partnership with Africa through the Indonesia-Africa Forum next April 2018. Listener, that was Focus Today. Thanks for listening.
Here is our news in brief. Indonesian Vice President M. Yusuf Kalla said at the UN headquarters in New York on Monday, 18 of September, that the wish of Indonesia to be non-permanent member of the UN Security Council is a constitutional duty in participating to create the world peace. A total of 40 warships from 35 countries is set to arrive at Lombok Strait around Lembar Port to attend the third multilateral Naval Exercise Komodo 2018 that will be held on May 4 to 8, 2018. Indonesian Minister of Manpower M. Hanif Dakhiri reminded that the employment attaché, which is the Indonesian diplomatic representative overseas, does not only take care of the Indonesian workers issue, but also to seek job market opportunities and vocational training. Indonesia is proud to be the organizer of the upcoming Europalia Arts and Cultural Festival, which will be kick-started on October 10 in Brussels, Belgium, Coordinating Human Development and Culture Minister Puan Maharani announced recently. The National Development Planning Agency BAPENAS has cooperated with Chinese construction company Huaqing Housing Holding Co. Ltd. to finance and build infrastructure project in Indonesia. Indonesian Embassy in Lisbon participated in the festival De Setembro 2017, which was held by Camara Municipal de Curem at Villa Medieval de Curem, a historical castle building complex in Curem town, last weekend. And the last item? Resident of Bone Bolango district in North Sulawesi is hopeful that Olele Marine Park can become a world-class destination. And that was the news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Ketek Ogleng dance from East Java. Stay tuned. Listener, on September 18, 2017, dancers from Kediri, East Java prepared to leave for Australia to show their talents at the Melbourne Fringe Art Festival. The Melbourne Fringe Art Festival is the second largest independent art event after Adelaide Fringe, which is held every year. There are 14 dancers along with two other personals, a singer and makeup artist. The dancers, who joined in the Guntur Dance Studio, is planned to bring four dances, namely Ketek Ogleng Dance, Kidung Tresno Keduwung, Topeng Panji, and Songgo Langit Patemboyo Dances. In the Kangaroo Country, they will stay for 10 days. They are scheduled to perform four times in two different places. From the four dances they will perform, Ketek Ogleng Dance becomes their leading performance. Ketek Ogleng is one of the traditional dances from East Java. Ketek Ogleng comes from the word ketek, a Javanese language which means monkey. While the word ogleng taken from the sound of music background of the dance. As the name implies, the dance movement impersonates the behavior of ketek or monkey. Usually, Ketek Ogleng dance is performed by four dancers, three female dancers and one male dancer who acts as an ape man. In its performance, Ketek Ogleng dance begins with the three female dancers coming into the stage. Two female dancers play as ladies, and another female dancer play as Princess Dewi Sekartaji of Jenggala Kingdom, Sidoarjo, while the male dancer act as Raden Panji Asmorobangun, who comes from the kingdom of Daha Kediri. The dance movement tells the story of Raden Asmorobangun and Dewi Sekartaji, who fell in love. They aspire to build a harmonious family life. Ketek Ogleng is a folk art that comes from Tokawi Village, Nawangan Subdistrict, Pacitan Regency, East Java Province. Ketek Ogleng art was created by Sutiman at the end of 1962 and is preserved by the people of East Java until nowadays. Ketek Ogleng dance is usually performed during celebration events such as weddings, circumcisions, and rituals to welcome the birth of baby. Now the dance is also staged at the reception of important guests. Ketek Ogleng dance is accompanied by Javanese gamelan instruments, traditional percussion instruments, and also the sindan vocal. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Ketek Ogleng Dance from East Java. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station and the Agency for Language Development, Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is liburan, or in English, holiday. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Liburan. Liburan in English, holiday. Beberapa hari. Beberapa hari. A few days. Melihat. Melihat. To see. Cuti. Cuti. On leave of absence. Pergi. Pergi. To go. Kemana. Kemana, where to. Kapan, kapan, when. Pulang, pulang, to return or to go home. Sumatera Barat, Sumatera Barat, West Sumatra. Kemarin, kemarin, yesterday. Hari ini, today. Bekerja, bekerja, to work. Letih, letih, tired. Lain kali, next time. Bersama, bersama, together. Menyenangkan, menyenangkan, fun. Next is a conversation on liburan or in English holiday. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Anna and Annie at the office. Annie, beberapa hari ini saya tidak melihat kamu. Annie, beberapa hari ini saya tidak melihat kamu. In English, Hi Annie, I didn't see you these last few days. Apakah kamu cuti? Apakah kamu cuti? Did you take a leave of absence? Ya, beberapa hari ini saya pergi liburan. Ya, beberapa hari ini saya pergi liburan. Yes, these last few days I went on holidays. Kamu liburan kemana? Kapan pulangnya? Kamu liburan kemana? Kapan pulangnya? Where did you go for holiday? When did you return? Saya berlibur ke Sumatera Barat. Saya berlibur ke Sumatera Barat. I went to West Sumatra. Saya pulang kemarin. Saya pulang kemarin. I returned yesterday. Kamu baru kembali dari liburan? Hari ini sudah bekerja. Apakah kamu tidak letih? Kamu baru kemarin kembali dari liburan? Hari ini sudah bekerja. Apakah kamu tidak letih? You just returned from holiday yesterday and now you are already coming to work. Aren't you tired? Tadi malam saya sudah beristirahat, jadi sekarang saya tidak letih. Tadi malam saya sudah beristirahat, jadi sekarang saya tidak letih. Last night I already rested, so now I'm not tired. Lain kali kita pergi liburan bersama ya. Lain kali kita pergi liburan bersama ya. Next time let's go together for a holiday. Pasti menyenangkan. Pasti menyenangkan. It must be fun. Baik, lain kali kita pergi liburan bersama. Baik, lain kali kita pergi liburan bersama. Okay, next time we go together for holiday. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic. Sampai berjumpa lagi. Until we meet again.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll present you to Kroncong songs. Well listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Solo di Waktu Malam by Ipo. Happy listening.
Pandangan mata berkata
Listener, Solo di Waktu Malam was the song composed by Maladi and popularized by Mus Mulyadi. The song was later also sung by other Indonesian keroncong singers including Ipo. Like the title, the song tells about the beauty of Solo City at night in the full moon. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Merah Delima by Ipo.
Sebagai tanah.
The song Merah Delima tells about the story of the symbol of love, which is a red ruby ring. Although it is not a marble diamond, it will be kept until the end of life. Like the Kroncong song in general, this song rhythmically mellow. The song that composed by Sutejo was once performed by other Kroncong singers but popularized by Sundari Sukoco. Although Ipu once brought some Kroncong songs, unfortunately, not much information about this female singer. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Melati Pesanku and Tanah Airku by Ipu. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.